Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Hear now the word of God. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "By no means, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? By no means, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
We are now beginning the third week of Lent. Now, the season of Lent is often a time when we look at ourselves. It's a season where we reflect on where we have been and envision where we are going as we follow Christ to the cross. Sometimes the season makes us a little uncomfortable because we're forced to look at ourselves more closely than perhaps we're accustomed. And sometimes we're afraid of what we will find. One of the themes in the Lenten season is the theme of repentance. Now, repentance is a strange word in our ears today. It comes with loaded images and feelings. In the Christian tradition, too often we have wed the idea of repentance with shame. What I mean by that is that we've been told to repent because we are bad, rather than that we have done bad things, which is guilt, not shame. Shame is not something that can be repented of. But guilt, that can be repented. But repentance in the Greek carries a completely different connotation than how we think of it today. In the Greek, it means to turn from something and to turn back towards God. Today, we'll focus on the themes of judgment and mercy in Luke 13 through the lens of repentance. At the beginning of our passage today, we see the crowd telling Jesus something that happened to the Jews of Galilee, a massacre of sorts, carried out by Pilate, the Roman governor, who, as a Roman soldier and citizen, was instructed to keep the peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, and to keep it by the use of the sword when necessary. Those with Jesus bring up the massacre for one of two reasons. Whether this was God's divine judgment on heinous sinners or not. But secondary to this, they seek to pass judgment on others whom they deem more sinful than themselves. I don't know about you, but I'm just a little uncomfortable at this secondary motive. Because when I look at our culture today, I recognize that we often judge without even thinking. Sure, we might recognize our own shortcomings, but our shortcomings aren't nearly as bad as that other person. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? It might change every day. But I think we find, if we're honest with ourselves, that we slip into this pattern of comparison. Our judgments may not be overt, which only increases the difficulty in dealing with them. When our judgments are subtle and ubiquitous, We don't even realize that we're judging another. And you know, our society encourages these judgments. We are inundated day in and day out with images of things that incite us to judgment. We're shown images of things that we have which others might not. We're shown images of people who look different than us and receive a subversive message that we're to be afraid of them. Or our judgments can take an entirely different form. Maybe we hear someone in the workplace sharing about their new car or new gadget or new whatever and begin to think them vain. Our judgments primarily arise out of shame, that feeling that we are not enough and therefore must judge another to escape our own shame, to bolster our own egos. In this passage, Jesus resists the people's desire to judge the Galileans. Jesus himself was a Galilean, after all. Instead of taking the bait, Jesus reframes the incident and uses it as an opportunity to urge the people to turn back towards God. This is not dissimilar to what the prophets did with the Israelites several centuries earlier. We see this in our reading from Isaiah this morning. In verse 7, Isaiah urges the wicked to return to the Lord. Why? So that they may receive mercy. Who are the wicked? The people of Israel. All of them. Isaiah is really calling the people to remember the God of their ancestors, whom they've forgotten. The same way, Jesus is urging the people to return to God so that they may rekindle their relationship with the divine creator and receive God's mercy. Jesus takes the judgments of the people towards the Galileans and changes the focus to those who are passing judgment. He says, "Unless you repent, you will perish as they did." There's a sense of urgency in Jesus' call to repentance. Jesus is all too familiar with the frailty of the human condition, the temptations that we humans face, the ease at which we turn to go our own ways. Here, he urges the people and all of us to stop, to take a moment and reflect, to see ourselves as beloved children of God who have strayed and who need to return. The image of Jesus as shepherd is prominent in the Gospels, and this is another instance of that image where Jesus is calling to his sheep to come back. Jesus utilizes these instances of tragedy to communicate to the people that there are no guarantees in life, that at any moment, any one of us could be called home. And so he urges the people to return not later, but now. In a way, Jesus normalizes the deaths faced by those Galileans and those people from the Tower of Siloam. And when you think about it, accidents like that or tragedies like that happen every day. Driving down the highway or at work or at schools. Sometimes things happen that are beyond our control. Death is one thing in this life that is certain. How and when, less so. So Jesus urges the people to turn back. And to turn back soon, to turn back now, to be right with God, because we don't know if there will be a later. He drives his point home in the telling of this short parable. Here's this fig tree, bearing no fruit for many years, and the owner wants to cut it down. But the gardener says, I want one more year to tend it and see if it will come back to life and bear fruit. In this parable, Jesus gives us an example of God's mercy. Jesus shows us that while some would want to condemn the fig tree for its lack, God loves the fig tree and will tend it and nourish it for a time before the final judgment is passed upon it. God's mercy abounds, and yet there is still an element of urgency. The fig tree portrays someone who has strayed for a long time, and now the gardener, who is Christ, calls the tree to return, to once again bear fruit. The tree, in some sense, has a choice. It will be fed and watered and cared for, all actions that it receives passively. But at some point, if the tree is a human, we have to decide. We have to choose if we will start bearing fruit. The question placed before us today is this: will we return? Will we accept the offering of God communicated in Isaiah 55? To come to waters and eat and drink of the bounty of God? To return to God and receive God's abundant mercy? Will we heed Jesus' call to repentance? To turn from the things that take us away from God? Will we suspend our judgments of one another and learn to love each other as God loves us, and thereby return to God? In this Lenten season, we have a choice set before us. As we examine ourselves, may we see how we have strayed, but may we also recognize that our straying does not change the fact that we are God's beloved and that God offers us abundant mercy and grace. In this season, it is my prayer that each of us will choose to return, to turn from the things that bind us, that we may experience the love of God that is so great, so deep, so high, that God would send his beloved Son to take on himself the punishment that our guilt would deserve, but that God loves us too much to bestow. May we return to God knowing that God will accept us just as we are, that in returning to God, we enter anew into relationship with God, that we may come to know God more and experience anew God's mercy and grace, a grace that we desperately need. So in this Lenten season, let we who are thirsty and hungry for God turn towards God and be filled. Let us walk with Jesus as he walks the lonely, winding road to the cross, where we find the ultimate expression of love and mercy. Amen.